Preparing for my talk this morning, it became obvious, well, we honored mothers on Mother's Day, so we better stop and honor fathers on Father's Day. So this is a good message for even our young ones to hear. So there's a nursery going on, but we will have children's church. Hey, wait, before you go, mister, we want to say, hey, welcome back to Ben Graham. Ben is here visiting his grandparents, so make sure you say hi to him as well. Well, do you know what the difference between Father's Day and Mother's Day is? Father's Day is a lot cheaper. What's with the ties, huh? What is it about Father's Day and ties? How many here really want a tie on Father's Day? I dare you to raise your hand. Or if you got a tie, you better raise it, huh? Actually, I like getting ties on Father's Day. It's a significant fact that John Muir, one of America's greatest naturalists during the formative period of his life, was taken by his father across the American continent. It took the family a year to make the journey. As each sunset and sunrise glorified the skies, this old Scotch father would take his children out and show them the beautiful skies and tell them that these surely were the robes of God. Who knows, but the sense of reverence instilled in that boy's heart as he lived in the out-of-doors for a year made him America's greatest naturalist and bred in his little soul a love for nature which turned the curves of his life forever, brought on by his father. A young successful attorney said, "The greatest gift I ever received was a gift I got one Christmas when my dad gave me a small box. Inside was a note saying, 'Son, this year I will give you 365 hours, an hour every day after dinner. It's yours. We'll talk about what you want to talk about. We'll go where you want to go, play what you want to play. It will be your hour.' My dad not only kept his promise," he said, "but every year he renewed it, and it's the greatest gift I ever had in my life. I am the result of his time." Well, today we are going to be talking about honoring fathers. And what does it mean to honor somebody? Well, we use words like to esteem them or respect them, revere them. So today you will see, just like Mother's Day, we had 8 reasons why you should honor your father. Today also we will have 8 reasons from different places in the Bible why you should honor your father. And rest assured, Dad, some of these honors are honors that are just freely bestowed on you by the nature of fatherhood. And some of these honors you will see are actually ones that you have to earn. Now, there's going to be some crossover here with our moms. And it was kind of funny. Sue was joking with me in the office, "Are you just going to take your Mother's Day sermon and plug in, you know, father in all the places?" And I kind of chuckled. I guess I can't do that, huh? But there is some crossover, okay? So you may hear a few things that sound kind of familiar. That's good. We need to sometimes hear these things again. But there are certainly many other things, too, that are unique to fathers. But the first one, our first point out of the 8, is one that was one that also applied to our moms. And that is that fathers, now, you need to think about this from 2 perspectives. If you're a son out there, raise your hand if you're a son of somebody. Okay, that's right, all of our guys. And raise your hand if you are also a father. We got a bunch there. So you kind of will be hearing this from 2 perspectives. Right? Because I'm not necessarily just talking about youth and kids dealing with fathers. I'm talking about all ends of the spectrum dealing with your fathers. Okay, so youth and kids, you need to be thinking about these things with your fathers and in regards to them. And fathers, you need to be thinking about this as, are you living up to these honors that I'm suggesting, that or the Bible is suggesting can be bestowed upon you? Well, number one, fathers should be honored because it is commanded in the Scriptures. It's commanded. It's part of the 10 Commandments. We said this with moms too. Exodus 20 and verse 12 says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you." And it's interesting because this command is the only one of the ten with a promise that accompanies it. And that is what we just read, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord God gives you. As well, there are also penalties that we see in Exodus 21, verses 15 and 17, for not honoring your parents. Listen to this, kids. He who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And verse 17, he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. So there were, back then in the Old Testament times, there were some very strict rules and regulations, if you will, as to how kids were to honor and respect their parents. Now, you might be thinking, wait a minute, Pastor Jay, that's the Old Testament law. We're not under the Old Testament anymore, so maybe that doesn't really apply. Okay, true, but honor your father and mother is also restated in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, where Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Do you want things to go well for you, kids, youth, sons, daughters? Do you want to have a long life? Then honor your father by obeying him. God takes obeying, honoring, respecting, and revering very seriously. We mentioned before as well in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 21, do you remember what would happen to rebellious children? What would happen to them? They could get stoned. That's pretty serious stuff. They could choose to stone the kids, to put them to death for their rebelliousness. And we talked about this with our moms on Mother's Day, and I think this next part also warrants mentioning again, but how do we give our fathers this honor? We say you're to honor them, you're to reverence, respect, esteem them, but really, how do we do that? How do we put that into practice? Well, you can honor your father, as we've said from Ephesians 6:1, with your obedience. With your obedience. By obeying your father, this will be a sign that you are honoring him. And that means that you need to obey even when you don't like it, or even when you don't want to or feel like it. Now, unless you're being asked or told to sin, that is the only time, you children of fathers, that you can say, no, I'm not going to do that. If your dad was asking you to sin against God, then you would have to obey God at that point. Remember the three aspects of obedience? I know my children know it. And it's something that we are always trying to impress upon them, and I mentioned it for mothers. But there's three aspects of obedience that we focus with in our family. And that is this, that you are obedient right away. First time obedience. Mom or dad asks you to do something, you say, yes, Mom, yes, Dad. And you start to do it. And then if you have a question about it, you can say, can I maybe ask you a question? And then we can say, sure. And then you can ask the question, etc. So we need to obey right away. Then we are also to obey, we say, all the way, meaning to completion. If it's a project around the house, that project needs to happen. It needs to get finished. We don't want to see the dog food sitting on the table halfway done. We don't want to see the garbage halfway to the garbage can. Things have to be done all the way. And the last part was, what is it? Your heart, with a joyful heart. It doesn't count when you cry, complain, stamp your feet. You go through with the obedience, but you do it begrudgingly. That is not showing honor and true obedience. Now, there's another way that we can honor our fathers, and that is with our words. We can honor our fathers with our words, and this certainly applies to all of us, no matter what age we are. Proverbs 30 and verse 11 says, there is a kind of man who curses his father and does not bless his mother. That is an unrighteous, that is not a good kind of man that does that. Ephesians 4:29 also reminds us, for everybody, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. So we need to think about our words, because our words are important, no matter what age our dads are at. They matter. And we are not to let any unwholesome, negative kind of word proceed from our mouth. Our words are only to be used for the good of somebody, to lift them up, to edify them. Well, we can also honor our dads with our respect. We can show them respect. Leviticus 19:3 says, "Every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father." Every one of you. This means to honor your father with your attitudes. Show your dads and show your grandpas or great-grandpas respect. Now, like we said in our message about moms on Mother's Day, you might be thinking to yourself, you know, I had a lousy dad. You don't know my dad. My dad's kind of a deadbeat dad. My dad was a drunk dad. My dad was a druggy dad. My dad deserted the family, or my dad was a loser, or you just don't have respect for your dad for one reason or another. It doesn't matter. You are still commanded to honor him. Moses in the Old Testament and Paul in the New Testament do not say, honor your father and mother if they are godly parents. No. You're just called to flat out honor them. Now, parents do have commands from God. They do have responsibilities. They do have expectations placed on them by God and His Word. But your call as sons and daughters is to honor them as sons and daughters. And it is not dependent on them fulfilling these other commands that God may give them as well. It's just kind of like in the husband and wife relationship, right? Husbands are not to love their wives in a self-sacrificing and Christ-like way only if their wives are submitting to them and loving them in a biblical way. No, they are to love them as Christ loved the church no matter what, and vice versa. Now, you might be thinking, but how can I do that? I mean, how can I honor someone that I don't respect? And unfortunately, I'm going to have to recommend you to our Mother's Day CD, which is out in the foyer. We have a little stack still made up, because I go into a little more detail about how you can honor your mothers, and the same applies for fathers when you don't feel like they deserve your honor or respect. I would just say this as an overarching theme. If you are able to still honor them, then that will be, one, pleasing to God, and two, God may very well use that to open up an opportunity that you might share the gospel with them. Because if they're truly this kind of person that really doesn't, you in your mind, deserve honor or respect, it's quite possible that they're an unbeliever. And so by showing them honor even when they don't deserve it, then God may just use that to open up that door where you can share Christ with them and share the love of Christ. But you can get the Mother's Day CD out there as well and hear a little bit more about that. Well, we can also honor our dads by not treating our dads lightly or not taking them seriously. And we see this in Ezekiel 22:7, where God, through Ezekiel, is speaking of the sins of Israel. And he says this, "They have treated father and mother lightly within you." And sometimes my own children will do this to me, and your children will do it to you, and you did it to your moms and dads, where, you know, we just kind of blow them off. We kind of blow our dads off. Oh, what does my dad know? You know, I know better. And we don't respect him. We don't revere him. We don't obey him. We don't listen to him. Well, you need to do that. You need to be a blessing to him. You know, because your dads, believe it or not, kids, they know a few things that you don't know. And it could be adult dads. And I still have this with my own dad, you know, and you have to remind yourself, my dad still has a few things that he can teach me that I don't know. And I need to not blow them off and think that I always know better. Don't be wise in your own eyes. And frankly, it's pleasing to God, not just your father, when you listen to him and you take him seriously. Do it for that reason, that it's pleasing to God when you take your father seriously and listen to him. So now, how can we kind of put some of these points in practice? And I kind of want to focus on our youth here for just a sec. How, you have to ask yourself, young people, youth, kids, how are you doing in the obedience and respecting department? How are things going for you? If your dad asks you to help him with a project, does your response start with an, "Oh, man, I really had better things to do today, you know? I was going to go down to the lake, and I was going to go play, and I was going to jump on the trampoline, and oh, I can't believe he asked." If he asks you to do something for your mom, do you begrudgingly go, "Fine. What, Mom? Dad said I had to help you. What?" Do you mumble under your breath, "Oh, I can't believe they asked me to do that. You know, I was going to do these things. I had all these other things planned. I just can't. I do so much around this house for other people, and they don't understand me." Or do you just look at them and tell them, "No. No. I'm not going to." Or double worse, do you lie to him? Do you lie to him? When your dad disciplines you, youth, do you accept the discipline graciously? Whether it's a spanking, whether it's a timeout, or whether it's a privilege removed, or the cell phone turned off, or the iPod taken away. Do you accept the discipline graciously? Because you realize that really you are the one that brought the punishment upon yourself because of your sin? Or do you throw a fit? Adults, we tend to kind of soften on these things, these kinds of things as we get older. But you need to ask yourself as well, even though the relationship with your dad has certainly changed over the years, whatever the context is that it is in, are you showing your dad honor, respect, esteem, and reverence? And listen up, folks, because this is the bitter truth. If you are not honoring and esteeming and revering and respecting your father with your obedience, with your words, with your actions, with your attitudes, then not only are you sinning against your dad, but you are sinning against God. And in that point, you need to repent. You need to pray and ask God for forgiveness. And you need to turn away from your sin. And you need to do what's right. And you need to not only repent to God, but then you need to go to your dad or your grandpa or your great-grandpa. And you need to repent as well and tell them you're sorry. Number two, fathers should be honored because they are the God-ordained leaders of their families. Fathers should be honored because they are the God-ordained leaders of their families. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13, Paul reminds us, "For it was Adam who was first created, and then Eve." And then if we were to go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, we see here, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone." So he's created Adam, realizes it's not good for him to be alone. And he says, "I will make him a helper suitable for him." So he created man first, realized it's not good for him to be alone. "I'm going to create a helper for him." And then in Genesis 2:24, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Then we might turn to Ephesians 5:22-24. Go ahead and turn there. Ephesians 5, we need to get our Bibles cracked open here. Ephesians 5, it's kind of a classic passage about husbands and wives. And here's what's really cool is we're going to get into more of family relationships in great detail when we get towards later on in chapter 3 of Colossians. Because Paul deals with that, and we're going to stop, and we're going to go real slow, and we're going to have a whole series on the family, okay? And we're going to talk about mom's roles, and dad's roles, and husband's roles, and wives' roles, and kids' roles more in-depthly. But Ephesians 5, verses 22-24, it says, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church. He himself," meaning Christ, "being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their husbands in everything." So it goes without saying that if wives are to submit to their husbands, then also the children are to submit to their fathers as well. And Colossians 3:18, when we get there, and 1 Peter 3, 1-2, both say the same things in regards to the submission, the order of submission to the husband's leadership. Now in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4, Paul also reminds fathers this. Now, this is in the context of to the leaders of the church, to the elders, but the principle certainly applies to all dads. And Paul says that he must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. Now, I show you these combination of verses, again, just to show you indeed that Scripture is clear that fathers are the God-ordained leaders of their families. Now, you might be thinking, yeah, well, why? Why did God do it this way? Why couldn't the moms have been, or what have you? Well, basically, this. God is all about getting glory for Himself. Okay? That is God's main purpose with us. He created us to bring Him glory, to give Him glory. And it's not a pride thing. You might think, well, that sounds kind of prideful of God. No. Now, this is God's right, and this is God's privilege, because He is the creator of us and the world and certainly all things. And God has ordained that the best way for this to be accomplished, meaning glory being brought to Himself, is through the family. And it's to give each member in the family a role to play, a function that, if done properly to His specifications, will cause a family unit to naturally glorify God. In addition, it will also allow the family unit to run as smoothly as possible in its ways of giving God glory. You know, for instance, if you went to a nice restaurant, kind of a fancy, expensive place, you often will find that the restaurant has an executive chef. Okay? The executive chef is the one who designs the menu and helps in the hiring of the other chefs. But he is basically the leader of all the chefs. Well, he can't single-handedly prepare everything that needs to be prepared and get it out to the tables nice and hot. And no, he needs a pastry chef. And he needs the salad chef. And these are called his sous chefs. And he needs the sauce chef and the grilling and sautéing chef, etc. And he needs all of these people working together to make the product, to get the product out to the customers. But not everybody can be the executive chef. Not everybody can be the head chef. It's, you remember the old saying, too many cooks in the kitchen, right? Or too many chiefs. And God has perfectly designed the chef family, okay? And He has done it a certain way for specific reasons. And when each member of the family of chefs understands his or her position and job, and they do it to the best of their ability, and this means dads and moms and kids and grandpas and grandmas and aunts and uncles, etc., then things will work as smoothly as possible. And the meal will be great. It will be fantastic. And let me just say, and dads, I know you all start shaking your heads, it's tough to lead. It is difficult. It is a tough job to lead. And it is an even tougher job to lead well. And it is not always an enviable position. And like with any kind of leadership position, whoever is the executive chef, you know, sometimes they're going to get the credit. It's the executive chef that's usually called out to the main dining room to accept the compliments of some diner for the meal that was prepared. And sometimes this happens, but not always. But let me tell you this. It's also the executive chef that, when things go wrong and the souffle is flat or the salad is wilted or the steak too rare or too overdone, it will be the executive chef that will take the rap for it. They will also get the blame if the meal stinks. And it's the same way in the family. It will be dad who will take the rap if the team isn't doing so well. He's the one held accountable by God for not being a good manager if things are kind of falling apart or crumbling. He's the one responsible to be the chief provider, and he's also responsible for the spiritual growth of his family. And like any leader, at the end of the day, he will be the one held primarily responsible for how his team did, and he will have to answer to the one in authority over him. In Dad's case, he answers to his father. I don't mean your grandpa, I mean the Father, God. So honor Him for this reason. He has a tough job. And just because the Father is the God-ordained head of the family, This does not mean that dear old dad is to be a dictator, a tyrant, a despot. He is not to be the Grand Turk, the Sultan, the Sheik, the Tsar, the Kaiser, or the Caesar. He is not to lord his authority over those under him. He is not there to oppress his family, to terrorize them, to be the inquisitor, the slave driver, or the taskmaster. Dad's job is to biblically lead his family. He is to follow the example of Christ and his word and to lead in a loving and self-sacrificing way. And when dad does this, he deserves your honor. So, dads, this kind of got turned around on you, didn't it? And you have to ask yourself, are you being the biblical, godly, loving, self-sacrificing leader to your family so that they can honor you in this way? And family, when dad is leading in this way, are you showing him honor and submitting to him? You know, and maybe your dad's struggling. Dad, maybe you are struggling, having a tough go at it. But praise God if you're trying. The fact that dad is the God-ordained leader of his family means that dad has many major responsibilities that you should give him honor for. It's not easy to be a dad. Number three, fathers should be honored because they teach them to love God and his word. Fathers should be honored because they teach their children to love God and his word. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." And this starts with dads teaching their children about God, and certainly to love God and to love God's word. Newsflash, dads. I am not the one primarily responsible for teaching your children about God. You are. The Sunday school teachers, the children's church teachers, the Awana leaders, the VBS and youth leaders are also not primarily responsible for teaching your children about God. You are. You are the one primarily responsible. We're there to help, assist, come alongside you. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger." And you might say, well, okay, but how do I not do that? But bring them up in the discipline or training and instruction of the Lord. In other words, if you do this, then you will not provoke them to anger. Meaning if you aren't raising them God's way, then you are raising them in a worldly, man-centered way. And this will cause them to be provoked to anger because the world's way is not the best way. In fact, it's the worst way. Turn, if you will, with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's a passage we looked at with our moms. But again, it's one that warrants looking back at again. It'd be a good one for everybody to memorize. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Moses here again with the Israelites that are left and waiting to go into the promised land on the plains of Moab. And he is reiterating all of the things that they need to do and pay attention to. Deuteronomy means the second law. So he's going back and repeating all of these commands and things before they go into the promised land that they have to remember. And he says this, "Hear, O Israel," Deuteronomy 6:4. "The Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Yes, it's back in the Old Testament, but the principle certainly stands that we are to teach our children the Word of God. We are to teach our children about God and about loving God based on our love for God. Proverbs 6 and verse 20 says, "My son," we could also substitute daughter in there if we want to. It's son because Solomon was writing to his sons. It says, "Observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother." So our moms are teaching and our dads are commanding us. And he is talking about godly, biblical commands coming from father and mother. Not just what they kind of desire or think is right to do, but based on God's Word. And this is you, dads. This is you. This is what you need to be doing. You go, yeah, I know. Man, there's just not enough hours in the day, though. I try, but I just don't have enough time. You know, I work, and I know I need to provide, and work is hard, and I come home, and I want to relax for a minute, and I want to, you know, and then I want to eat dinner, and I just want to go to bed sometimes, and I get up, and I got to do it all over again. Well, really. Now, let me ask you this, though. Do you ever find the time to, you know, turn on the ball game? Or do you ever find the time to go fishing? Or do you find the time to go do whatever it is that maybe you like to do? Or maybe you just like to go and tinker in your garage or whatever. And for some of you, you may be thinking, no, I don't. I just work and sleep and that's all I do. Well, then you're a workaholic and you have another problem that, you know, you need to come see me about. Because that's not a good thing either. But what I'm trying to get at is, again, I've said this before, it's all about priorities, right? It really comes down to that. It's all about our priorities. We make time for the things that are important to us. We do. So you have to ask yourself, is this important? Where does it rate on my scale of things to do? My teaching my kids about loving God and loving His Word and teaching their Word to Him. Let me ask you this. Dads, how do you want to be remembered by your kids? Like that one lawyer that I read about in the story at the beginning, who remembers that his dad gave him an hour each day, he gave him his time. Or John Muir remembering his dad taught him about God using the great outdoors. Or do you want your kids to remember that you are a workaholic, that you never had time for them? Do you want them to maybe you give them some time. You know, there's time with dad, and maybe you'd go to the ballpark, or you do Little League, or you do whatever it is, but it's minus God. You're not teaching them about God, or you're not teaching them about His Word, taking these opportunities to share Christ with them. Well, that's not a good thing either. Or would they look back and say, you know, my dad made God, the Bible, Jesus, going to church, serving the church, all those things, a priority. My dad is obviously somebody who loved the Lord, and he wanted to share that with me. Now, hey, we're all going to fall short. We're all not going to be perfect in how we do those things. But would that be kind of the characteristic nature of what your children would say about you? And kids, youth, this is important stuff. This is really important. What your dad teaches you about God and the Bible and Jesus and salvation and how to live a godly life is so much more important than what TV has to offer you, or what movies have to offer you, or video games, or the computer, or toys, or shopping at the mall, or hanging out with your friends, or even sporting events and any other activities you might do. It's even more important than school. School is important, but knowing God and knowing Jesus is even more important. Your very life and your eternal future are dependent on what you know and believe about Jesus Christ. Do you know that Jesus died for your sins? That He came to this earth to take your sins upon Himself, die in your place, be put in the tomb, and then raised up from the dead 3 days later? Do you know and understand that you are a sinner and you need the love and forgiveness of Jesus? Do you know that when you pray and you say, Jesus, I am sorry for my sins and I want to follow You, that You are forgiven and then you have that promise of eternal life? So when your dad tells you that you need to go to church, or you need to go to Sunday school, or youth group, or whatever, don't roll your eyes at him. Or whine and complain, or throw a fit, or blow him off. Honor him by listening to him and doing what he says, even if you don't necessarily want to at this time, or even if you don't think you need it, or even if you don't think, if you think it's dumb or stupid or whatever. Humor your dad. Show him honor, because you may not know this now or think this, but honestly, he has your best interests at heart. And one last reminder, dads, again, you can only expect this honor as far as you are doing the things that you are telling your children to do. Right? They need to see it acted out in your life. Or else there's going to be a disconnect. We're going to move through these last few fairly quickly. Those were kind of the big ones. But fathers should be honored for being godly examples to their children. That's number four. Fathers should be honored for being godly examples to their children. Dads, we need to be living a godly life in front of our kids. We need to be doing this for our children and also our grandchildren. Because as you so often have probably found out, they're always watching us, aren't they? Even when we don't think they're watching, they are. And it is an honor that we have to earn. You know, one example of this for, being godly examples is ask yourself, do I show love to other people? Because I think that's a big one. Well, God thinks it's a big one. It's the second greatest command, right? Love God, love others. As Jesus commanded His disciples in John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have a love for one another. So dads, are you teaching your children to love others by your example? You know, and the Scriptures don't just teach us to love those that are easy to love. They teach us also to love those that maybe are not so easy, or the ones that are just more difficult. You might ask yourself, here's a few things to think about. How are you when you're at your kid's sporting game and the umpire makes a bad call and it's against your kid? Or how are you on the road and you got the kids in the car and somebody cuts you off or somebody's tailgating you? How are you on the phone with people, especially telemarketers? When you're around or talk about other people and your kids hear you and there may be people that you don't necessarily particularly care for, what kind of words and things do your kids hear come out of your mouths? When you're talking with your wife, do you remember sometimes that your kids are in the back seat listening to every word you say as you talk about certain people? Are you showing your kids how to forgive? Are you showing your children how to be hospitable? Are you showing your children how to be generous? Are you showing your children how to be kind towards all people? Are you showing your children how to be patient and long-suffering and forbearing to everyone? Are you showing your children how to love those that are seemingly hard to love? If you want honor from your children, then you have to live out a godly life in front of them. They must see your faith in action daily. And if they don't see that you have a deep and passionate love for God and for His Son and for His Word and for the people of God and the church, again, you have to ask yourself, can I really expect my kids to? And kids, when you see this from your dad, you need to give him honor. Five, fathers should be honored because they discipline their children. They should be honored because they discipline them. Discipline demonstrates your love for your children. Like Proverbs 13:24, he who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. Discipline also drives out foolishness. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. Discipline also invites wisdom. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. You'd substitute father in there. Discipline will deliver their souls from Sheol. Proverbs 23:13-14, do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. You shall strike him with the rod and rescue his soul from Sheol. All these references to the rod mean corporal punishment. Sheol is a Hebrew word for the place of death, hell. Now, just to clarify, this verse is not saying that you are saved if you get disciplined. It is saying that discipline will teach a godly understanding of right from wrong and help one avoid an untimely or premature death due to one's waywardness and sin. Remember, too, again, what could happen to the rebellious child in a worst-case scenario in the Old Testament, death. Number six, fathers should be honored because they provide for their families. They provide for their families. It's not that a wife or mom can't work or earn money in situations to help the family, so long as it isn't interfering with her being a helpmate to her husband, as well as being able to take care of her children. But fathers, scripturally speaking, are to be the providers for their families, the primary providers. You know, we see this in Genesis 2:15. Moses says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate and keep it." So it's the man doing the work there. Then the Lord God said in verse 18, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." So she is to be his helper, helpmate. In verses chapter 3, 17 to 19, "Cursed is the ground because of you," God's curse upon the man. "In toil you will eat of it," this is specifically to the man, "all the days of your life, by the sweat of your face," in verse 19, "you will eat bread till you return to the ground." So he's charging the man that the man will be the one to cultivate and to toil over it. In 1 Timothy 5:8, we see in the context of widows, this statement, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever," which is really the negative form of verse 4 in 1 Timothy, which is, "But if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God." Women have other duties and jobs in their position as wife and mother, but fathers are to be the principal providers. And I know we don't always see it this way, especially in today's world. You know, it's all about many people get very career-minded, and they think, you know, we want to have dad wants to be working, mom wants a career too, and because we want to have the nicer things in life. And often what ends up happening is the children go to daycare, and daycare ends up raising the kids. I'm not saying that there aren't certain situations where, again, that is, you know, all that two parents can do to actually just put food on the table, but it's not always the case. Other countries and cultures put us to shame in this area and how they take care of things like their... Oh, I know what I was going to say there. I'm going to just cut it a little short because of our time today, but there is a biblical admonition to also... for children to take care of their parents if their parents can't take care of themselves. And I was going to just remind us that, you know, like I said, other countries and cultures will put us to shame in that area and how they take care of their fathers and mothers. 7, fathers should be honored by your righteous living. Fathers should be honored by your righteous living. Proverbs 23, 24 to 25 again. "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who sires a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you." Or what we hear in Luke 3, verses 21 to 22, "And now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. And while he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came out of heaven." And it was God's voice, obviously, saying, "You are my beloved son. In you I am well pleased." So, kids, we need to honor our fathers with our righteous living. You know, and here's a case I thought of, especially in a small town. Think about this. Do you bring honor to your dad through your reputation around town? Because, yeah, in a small town, boy, everybody knows your business, don't they? They all see and hear what's going on. And let me just ask you, would your people that know you say that you are bringing honor to your dad by way of your reputation, even in a small town? You know, we were watching a movie last night with our kids, Anne of Green Gables, and there's this scene in the movie where young Anne just lets loose on a neighbor. She's an orphan girl, gets taken in by this family, and this neighbor says something unkind to her, and she just opens her mouth and spews out all kinds of horrible things to this neighbor. And we could say that she was not honoring her family with her righteous living. Lastly, number 8, it's a short one. Fathers should be honored because they had a small part in you being born. They had a small part in your being born. Proverbs 22:3 and 22, "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old." Yes, kids, it is your mom. We mentioned this about moms that had to carry around this 7 to 10 pound bowling ball in their stomach for 9 months. But it was your dad that had to live with them during that 9 months too. So you can give them a little bit of honor for that. So, fathers should be honored because it's commanded in the Scriptures. They should be honored because they are the God-ordained leaders of their families. They should be honored because they train their children in the way that they should go. That is, they teach them to love God, His Word, and to love other people. Fathers should be honored because they discipline their children. Fathers should be honored because they provide for their children. Fathers should be honored for being godly examples to their children. Fathers should be honored by their sons and daughters, by their sons and daughters' righteous living. And fathers should be honored because they endured 9 months of hardship. I mean bliss, before you were born. You should probably also be honored because of that incredible gene pool that your children got from your side of the family. Right, guys? Those of you who have dads, we already asked you to raise your hands. You don't have to do it again. We all have dads. Honor them. Honor them every second of every day of your life. Bring blessing to them and also upon yourself and blessing to God. And dads, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Be a God-fearing dad who deserves to be honored by his children. I leave you with this Father's Day poem called Father's Gift. To you, O son of mine, I cannot give a vast estate of wide and fertile lands, but I can keep for you the whilst I live unstained hands. I have no blazoned scutcheon that ensures your path to eminence and worldly fame, but longer than empty heraldry endures a blameless name. I have no treasure chest of gold refined, no hoarded wealth of clinking, glittering pelf. I give to you my hand and heart and mind, all of myself. I can exert no mighty influence to make a place for you in men's affairs, but lift to God in secret audience unceasing prayers. I cannot, though I would, be always near to guard your steps with the parental rod. I trust your soul to Him who holds you dear, your Father's God. So honor your fathers and happy Father's Day. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for being our Father, for, Lord, demonstrating all of these things first and foremost to us, that you love us, that you give us mercies and graces and blessings beyond belief, God, that, Lord, you have given us the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and for all who believe in him, they shall be saved. Lord, thank you for our fathers. Lord, even if we maybe have some issues or difficulties or problems with our fathers, let us still honor them. And Lord, let us thank them and show them honor by paying attention to what your word says about our dads. Lord, I pray that it would just be a wonderful day of just time with families and time with dads and maybe stepdads or surrogate dads or granddads or whatever the case may be. Or, Lord, if somebody doesn't have a dad, that they would just turn to you, knowing that you are their daddy. You are their father. You are their Abba. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your Son's name, amen. Before you leave,